Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Greg LaFollette and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, Episode 9, Document Management in the Tax Practice.
Good morning, Greg LaFollette, Intersection Live. Today we're recording Document Management for Accountants to Go. This is Episode 8. We have our regular host here with us, John Higgins. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Greg.
And most of you will recognize John and John's voice and John's name. John's a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit, a former partner in a large national firm over in the technology side, very, very active in the Michigan Society and the AICPA and is a CPA and a CITP. And John, you're also a member of the Business and Industry Hall of Fame, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I won that award a few years ago. That's the AICPA.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive thing. You've been helping firms and businesses adopt technology for most of your professional life, and very, very active out there wandering in the wilderness talking about paperless and digital way before it was cool, and now that it is cool, you're certainly in demand, and I very much appreciate your again taking time to share with the listeners of Document Management for Accountants to Go and all of our listeners at Intersection Live all the great work that you do for the CPA Technology Advisor, and you get to look at a lot of products. I know you get to look at a lot of firms, and we decided the first of the year that we were going to do this recurring podcast, and I was a little bit concerned about whether or not we were going to have enough content to handle this month to month. And I remember you kind of chuckled and said, "Yeah, I think we'll be just fine." And of course, you're exactly right. We have lots of content and lots of stuff, and we keep getting questions and comments from our listeners, and we're always grateful for those. And we do maintain a full set of show notes at the cpatechadvisor.com. And so if John mentions today names of products or websites or telephone numbers or anything like that, just know that you can go directly to the website, take a look at those show notes, and the show notes will include all of those things, and it just makes life a lot easier than trying to swerve over to the side of the road and write something down. It's just a whole lot easier that way. So that's why we do it that way. If you do have some comments that you'd like to make, hopefully constructive, or some ideas or some questions, feel free to give us a call. And we do maintain a voicemail box where you can call and leave some comments. It's 800-456-0864, and that extension is 2106, again, extension 2106. And we occasionally pull in guests and talk to them about their paperless challenges, and those are always fun things to do. We had a fairly extensive interview with a guest just last month, John?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
We'll be curious to go back and visit with him someday. Maybe next year we'll check in and see if we got him on the right track.
That sounds like a plan.
Right. So today, John, we wanted to talk a little bit about tax season. It's probably apropos. We're recording this on the 14th of October, and we're recording live, as we do on all of our Intersection Live podcast. We're recording live on TalkShoe.com, and I'm just popping over here to see if we have any visitors. A couple of people hanging out there, so if anybody wants to come and join us, you're certainly welcome. We'll be recording episode 10 on Friday, November 21st at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. That'll be episode 10. So if you want to join us live, just shoot on over to TalkShoe.com, and you'll see us there in Intersection Live, and you can listen live right there. And if you want to join the chat, you can do that too. It's always interesting to have some more people there. But today is the 14th, and I still practice tax, and I'm in a tax office today. And if it weren't for the fact that we were paperless, John, I'd have a pile of tax returns to review. But I don't have a pile, but I can't see the bottom of the list here on my screen of the returns I've got to review for tomorrow. Lucky that we're paperless, or I'd have a big old pile here I'd have to step over. So we're going to talk today about integrating document management systems into a tax practice. And this is something that you were challenged with doing in your national firm a long, long time ago, and you work with lots of different firms trying to do that. So you know, as we kind of start, is tax where most firms kind of get the paperless bug? Is that the best spot for them to start?
Yeah, I would say that document management specifically typically originates in the tax area. Paperless, the bug for paperless can come really either from the tax prep area or from the audit area with the audit work papers. But for document management specifically, it tends to originate in the tax department more than any other part. That's based on my experience.
So when you think about the tax process, you really, when you start introducing, well, I guess any kind of technology, but specifically what we'll continue to call paperless. I'm not sure I like that adjective very much. I like digital better. But when we talk about any kind of technology, it really kind of gives you the opportunity to figure out what the process is going to be. So it's really all about workflow, and you look at the tax practice and kind of break it down. A tax practice is pretty basic for most firms, but it's also a lot more complicated than people think it is. How do you break that down for firms, Chad?
Well, the way I like to look at it is really just taking it into three major pieces. You've got the first piece being the whole process for getting the data you need to do the tax return. So it's getting the client information. To a certain degree, you may be going to third parties to get some of that information, such as K-1s or 1099s. But for the most part, it obviously originates from the client's office or from the client's home directly. So that's a big part of it, is getting that information in and getting it organized so that when you get to the second part, which is the tax preparation process itself, you've got a good base of information to work from. So the second piece, as I say, is the whole preparation process where you're actually generating the return, going through the review process, all the way up to the point of really getting it ready for distribution. And then that would be the third part, which is the whole distribution and dissemination and archiving of both the final product, the final tax return, as well as all the supporting information that was used to generate that return, so you have it archived for future reference. So break it into those three parts: data gathering, part one; tax prep, part two; and document distribution and archiving, part three.
Okay.
I appreciate your point about the term digital as opposed to paperless, because I think that is just a much better term. It's just, words have meanings, and I think that's a clear example where digital is just so much more forward thinking. And probably more importantly, it really emphasizes or brings out the fact that when you go digital, it just opens up a lot of new opportunities for making your workflows more efficient.
Well, John, just as a quick aside, I may have told you this story. This happened to me just late this summer. I was with a firm out in Indianapolis, and I'd spent the day with them. And as I was leaving, I was standing at the front door of the office suite with the managing partner, just kind of visiting and saying our goodbyes. And the door opened up, and here came a delivery guy, and he had a hand truck with, I don't know, 6 or 8 cases of paper on it. And he came in the door and he looked right at both of us with a big smile, and he looked at the partner and he said, "I'm here to solve your paperless problem." and so all of a sudden paperless had a whole new meaning to me, for me. So that's kind of why I've decided that digital is a little better. So going back to this first part, this data gathering and organization, it seems to me, John, that one of the challenges is that some data used to be all analog. Years ago we got no data digitally. We didn't have spreadsheets. We didn't have electronic tax organizers. We didn't have downloads from brokerage firms and things like that. And now we're getting kind of a combination, right? Depending on the client and the practice and the kind of return, you're getting some stuff analog in paper, some stuff just in PDF, which is kind of a little bit digital and a little bit paper, depending, and then some stuff actually in true files, in digital files, some Word and Excel and other stuff, and so you got all of that kind of stuff. How do firms manage all of that?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, and that's really what firms are trying to address in terms of taking their workflow digital. Is what is the best way to deal with all these different forms of input? And I would say that in terms of more of a longer-term strategy, in my opinion, I think that you should put a lot of focus on ultimately trying to get your clients to provide you the information electronically. And in the purest form of that would be to actually go to a secure website and enter it into an online organizer. And just because that way you just eliminate scanning, of course, you eliminate accumulating other files, whether it's PDFs or Word documents or email messages. So as a long-term strategy, I think that's going to be one of the most effective ways to really maximize efficiency.
Well, I'm going to have to get a better class of client then, because I don't trust my clients to key things directly into a tax return.
Agreed. Well, I meant into the organizer itself.
Right, exactly.
Realizing even I realize that from a practical perspective, that's a huge challenge to overcome.
Right.
So then on a more near-term strategy, you got to say, okay, what can we do to try to get the information in other electronic forms like a PDF file or maybe a Word document or email message? Because then you can eliminate the scanning process or at least minimize it. But the reality of it is that today, particularly in terms of individual tax prep, the bulk of the information is still going to come in a paper format.
Sure.
So the key opportunity as you're planning for the 2009 tax season coming up very shortly, is what can we do to streamline the efficiency of our scanning process? And so a couple of things I think that are worth pointing out, and some of this is certainly a review of topics we've talked about in our previous DMA to Go podcast, so you may want to go back and review some of those. But one is to look at and understand the potential of these scan and organize software tools. And I would refer you back to the CPA Tech Advisor September issue, just from last month. And Isaac O'Bannon did a really nice job of doing a review and a discussion of scan and organize tools. And he had about 5 or 6 different products laid out there and kind of identified the features of them. And the whole point of those tools is that they're designed to really streamline the scanning process for 1040 documents to the point where they will do, and at different levels of quality, they will actually be able to recognize some of the documents and then organize them into the PDF file for you automatically, create bookmarks to point to them automatically, and also make it easier for you to then go in and arrange the documents on screen, as opposed to having to arrange them in a paper-based model before they go through the scanner.
Right.
And then if you take them to their more advanced level, you actually have what they call scan, organize, and populate, and those can, to a degree, take the data and actually enter it directly into the tax software. So those, and I believe that even though we're in the middle of October, it's not too late by any stretch of the imagination to really take some time to look at these different products and consider putting putting one into your practice this this season.
So, John, and, for the people that haven't seen that article yet, let's just kind of click through those real quickly. Those there's about a half dozen of them, and there's more information. We're not gonna redo that whole review, but just kind of click through the CCH and the Thompsons and the other people that are out there. What's out there?
Yeah, you've got CCH has basically two solutions. Their most popular is the ProFX scan, and it does the auto document recognition and document organization.
Now that's a part of the ProFX, obviously the ProFX tax system, but it's tied in with the document system also, right?
Yes, but just to clarify, you can use it without getting the document management system. It is a standalone application.
Right. Right.
Because you know, putting one of these tools in, I think, is practical at this stage for the upcoming tax season. DMS, we'll get to that step, is maybe a little bit different decision.
Right.
And then you also have from CCH, they have the ATX TaxWise scan and fill software, which is really for those of you who use the ATX TaxWise software. It'll do the scanning of the documents, and then it'll also facilitate populating that information into the tax return.
And so that's over on the CCH Small Firm Services set.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you have Companion. That's GruntWorks. I forget which one's the company that puts the product,
right.
But it's Companion GruntWorks. So I believe Companion is the company actually. And
right.
It's a tool that will actually, and it's web hosted, so the implementation of technology on your end is going to be a little less of an issue. And it basically does, again, automates the scanning and organization of the documents.
Right. And they have just recently announced a scan and populate with the Thompson GoSystem Tax product.
Yeah, they seem to be going down that path more. So if you're using GoSystem, definitely would want to take a closer look at that.
Right.
Then you have SurePrep has their 1040 scan. Thompson has two solutions. Thompson GoFileroom document management system, they have what they call, I believe they still call it Tax Sort,
yep.
Which again is document recognition in an organization. And then in File Cabinet, they have some basically scan and fill type capability as well. So there's, again, I would refer you back to the article to get more details, more specifics.
Right.
But the point is that you've got a number of tools out there. Some are designed to work directly with the document management solution, but some of them are completely independent of the document management solution. And in all cases, they're tools that can certainly help make this part of the tax prep process more efficient.
So, John, for our listeners who were sitting there clicking off all of the tax publishers, listening to what their products are, they probably heard that great big hole there. That there wasn't, we didn't talk about Intuit at all. And Intuit had a product, actually one of the first products in this area a couple of years ago, and they simply pulled it off the market because they didn't think it met their expectations. And in terms of quality, it didn't meet their expectations. It was very popular. But they have all summer, spring and summer, they've been talking about they're going to make an announcement. And the word is that they will make an announcement on the 29th of October that they have something. I don't know what that is. And I don't know that the 29th of October is for sure, but that's just those are the rumor mills a spinning. So for those of you who are in Le Cert and Pro Series land, and there's only about 100,000 firms that are in that in those areas, so there's probably some people pretty interested in that. Hang tight, because I think there's something there, you know, that may happen. So you want to speculate on that, or you would just leave me hanging out there, John?
Well, I'll just leave it. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we just, you know, as you say, let's see what they come out with. And, you know, I give them credit for the fact they took the previous solution off the market because it didn't meet, as you say, their quality standards. So definitely good credit due there. And hopefully all they've learned from that experience and all the ability they have to put resources into a new tool, I would expect nothing but a good solution coming out of them in the next month or two. So it'd be interesting to see what they have to say.
Okay, so one of the solutions is these scan and organize products. But you know, whether we do that or not, we still or you have a scan and organize, and that's, you know, you scan and I organize. You still have some additional steps in terms of you know, how you go about scanning. What do we have to think about in that area?
Yeah, you really want to establish your scanning model in terms of whether you want to have a centralized scanning approach where everybody kind of feeds into one central scanning operation, or do you want to have a distributed scanning where everybody is on their own to do their own scanning, or maybe some kind of a hybrid. As we've talked on previous podcasts, I'm a big proponent of the centralized scanning model. And that, therefore, with that model, you can invest more money in a higher speed, higher quality scanner. You can dedicate personnel to that process, and they don't have to be high-priced professionals. They can be an administrative support task, and they can be trained and given specific policies to follow to get, you know, the proper level of quality control in your scanning process. And so, you know, that would be the approach I would recommend. And, you know, then as part of that, really walk through what is going to be your workflow for taking documents through the scanning process, and particularly how do we deal with documents that come later on in the process. We've scanned in the client's initial set of supporting documentation, and then a week later we get a 1099. 2 weeks later we get another K-1.
That happens to you, John?
Not to me, because I don't prepare tax returns. So.
Right. Yeah, there's always the late-breaking K-1, right?
Yeah. So, you know, walk through that so that everybody understands what the process is going to be. And if there is a good argument to be made for decentralizing the scanning, it may be at that point when those, miscellaneous documents start coming in after the fact, and it just may be the most efficient to have the preparer actually scan those in himself or herself. But
sure.
Even that, I'm still a proponent of the centralized scanning for that.
Right.
So did you have a question, Edgar?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So the point there is, regardless of whether you're using a scanning software tool or not, a scan and organize tool, still you want to really take the time now to figure out what is your scanning workflow and who is responsible for what, and make sure you've invested in the right kind of scanner. Then, as part of your decision-making, this is, to me, is the most important decision you have to make, is at what stage do you want to do the scanning? And, you know, the basic choices you have are, you have three choices. Front-end scanning, which means you're going to scan all your documents in before you start the preparation of the tax return, and that's, you know, basically a required step if you're going to have a truly paperless tax return process. So front-end scanning is a huge decision because then it has consequences all the way through the prep process.
Sure.
The second option is what we call midpoint scanning, which means the tax preparation is actually done based upon having paper, the supporting documents still in the paper format, while we prepare the return, but then we send them off to scanning so that the review step is done completely paperless. The reviewer is actually looking at the supporting documents.
Sure.
On screen instead of on paper.
So that's kind of a hybrid, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a hybrid, and it's not nearly as intrusive on the tax preparation process, obviously, so it's easier for firms as they're trying to work their way into a digital workflow here. That's a very reasonable first-year step.
Okay.
To the process.
So I assume when you get to the third option is you just do everything on paper and then scan the whole thing at the very end, right?
Right. So that, you know, we just consider that as like paperless archiving. And
okay.
It's better than nothing. It's going to be the least effective option in terms of taking your tax process digital, of course. But if you're just not comfortable, if you don't think you have all the right tools you need, then at a minimum, I would encourage you to say, okay, our policy is when the return process is finishing up, all documentation gets put into electronic format, and we eliminate the paper documentation.
So that's a way for firms to start. I mean, if you wanna you know, eat the elephant, one bite at a time, you start with that third, and then move to the hybrid, and then maybe the second year in, move to the, you know, all the way to the scan at the beginning. You see firms do it that way?
Yeah, and I think that's a very reasonable approach. Is you kind of put it out in a, like a 3-year cycle.
Sure.
Having said that, I would tell you that based on my experience, I would say at least 3/4 of the practices out there are already doing the electronic archiving, the paperless archiving.
Right.
So well over the majority of firms are already down that path. But it's a good place to start. If you haven't gone to that step, then that's a lot safer than trying to jump into front-end scanning your first year through. That could create some real havoc because it's a big change. It's a big shift culturally in your workflow.
So it seems to me then, John, regardless of which of those three options one chooses, you still have the question of, okay, I have this electronic file now. Where do I put it?
Right. And so to that decision, particularly the decision to go front-end scanning where you're truly going to go to a paperless workflow, then I think you have to have some form of a document management system. And I think you also should have a workflow solution, working with that. And you also need to have good, probably intermediate level Adobe skills to be able to, and we'll get more into this, but to mark up the documents.
Right.
And those would be the main, and dual monitors, of course, to be able to have your work papers displayed electronically next to the tax software.
Sure.
But so to your point about where to put all these, so you really have two main choices. You can either just try to continue and use Windows Explorer, your file organization system, and if you're going to do that, you just want to make sure that you have the most efficient folder structure model set up that's appropriate for your firm. And I think most firms have gotten pretty good at that just by necessity, because we're getting so many files on our drives and on our servers that if we don't have a good folder structure, it's tough, because you just got to spend half your time trying to navigate through those.
So, John, what I see is there's a huge debate floating out there in firms whether the organization is client year or year client. What's your suggestion?
I think that the client and then year, because that way when you're in the client folder, the subfolders are there for each of the other years, and you're just kind of working in that same area.
Sure. I think where that year client came from is some people looked at it and said, well, that will make my offloading in my general storage and my archiving a lot easier, because I can chop all of 2006 all at one time. But there are tools out there to do that kind of under the hood, right?
Yes, absolutely. And really, when you think about that archiving process, a lot of that can be kept as an administrative task, whereas actually working with the files during the tax preparation process is, really impacting your professional staff time. And so anything we can do to make the use of their time more effective is going to be the better choice.
Okay.
And that's also a good point, though, then to lead right into the whole document management solution as the alternative, because with the document management system, you don't have to make that decision. You can organize by both client and year, and whenever you go to retrieve your files and your documents, you just tell it how you want to see them. Do you want to see them sorted by year? Do you want to see them sorted by client? That's just one small example of the benefit of that approach.
Because at its simplest point, that's really all a DMS is Windows Explorer on steroids with a whole bunch of things on top of it.
Yeah, exactly right. It's just different, technologies to allow you to just find the information more efficiently, first of all, organize it more effectively on the inbound side, so that when you want to go back and retrieve it, you have many different ways in which you can go out and get that information. And that's and we say the term document management, as we've talked in previous podcasts, it's really, in my opinion, file management system, because The documents we're dealing with in these systems are in electronic files, PDFs typically, sometimes TIFF formats, but they're in electronic files, and they're in there along with your Excel spreadsheets and your Word documents and maybe your email message files. So it's really a file management system, and as we just said, these systems are just kind of taking the Windows Explorer to the next level in terms of functionality to organize and retrieve those files effectively.
Right.
And I would point out that I would refer the listeners again back to the CPA Tech Advisor, the June issue and the August issue. We had the review of document management and document storage systems, so there's a lot of in-depth information about probably well over a dozen solutions that you can really get a sense of how the different vendors compare in terms of features and functions, and use that as a good launch point to start looking at systems that would be appropriate for your practice specifically.
And a particularly well-written set of reviews, John, if I do say so myself.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Well deserved. And John is obviously the author of those reviews and does an absolutely incredible job. They're really, really well done and very valuable. So.
Well, I appreciate that, Greg. And I tell you, I enjoy doing them because it's a great way for me to stay on top of what's going on out there, because this market just does change fast every year. Each vendor is trying to come out with the best product to beat their competition. So it's a great opportunity for me to learn as well and to share that knowledge with the reader. So
sure.
I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Okay.
So the document management system, if you want it, you got to think at this stage, is it going to be appropriate for you to try to implement one for the upcoming tax season? I would say if you already have made the decision you want to do that, so you've kind of moved beyond the strategy piece in your firm and you're just now kind of looking at different solutions, then there's still time. But, I would say that, to me, you want to make a decision no later than Thanksgiving, because if you start waiting to get into December, late December, and procuring a system, you're not going to be able to dedicate the proper amount of time to really get your staff trained on the system and to develop your workflow utilizing the system. And so you could very well end up in a real bad experience, and that just will set you back instead of taking you forward. So,
right.
Now, having said that, I've been involved with firms that have done it as late as January, but my recommendation is don't sit around. Once you get through your tax deadline tomorrow, make it a key initiative and get a system selected and procured by Thanksgiving, and you should be fine.
Sure. So the third area, John, that you talked about was the whole distribution and archives, the e-filing, the delivery to the client, storage in your system, the portal, all of that stuff, right?
Yeah. So you got really three pieces is just disseminating the tax return to the tax agencies, and e-filing is its own topic and speaks for itself, and I think many firms have gone very successfully down that path. Then you have the distribution of the final returns to the clients, and your third piece is archiving it for your records. So some of the decisions you want to evaluate are, first of all, when it comes to printing the tax return to a PDF format, I think you should really try to establish a policy that we're not printing any paper copies, and just kind of stick to that policy, and hopefully you'll be successful in sticking with it. So then the question becomes, okay, what should we be printing to PDF? And I see a lot of firms go through this decision about whether we should print the accountant's copy or the client's copy or
right.
the government copy. And in my opinion, the cost of storage is minimal. So I would
yep.
say if your workflow is efficient, just print all three of them to PDF
uh-huh.
so that you have them. Otherwise, what happens is, and what a lot of firms end up doing, is they print the accountant's copy because that's the most complete set of the return. And then when the client wants an electronic copy, they'll go into Adobe and extract out the tax return pages and email that separately.
Right. You hope to extract the right ones.
Yeah. So there's a lot of potential labor involved in there and the potential
yeah.
to send the wrong pages. So,
right. Yeah. About the time you send the diagnostic page to your client, that'll be the time that you decide you don't want to do that again.
Yeah, exactly. So just, I guess, don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Don't worry about the cost of storage relative to the time it's going to take to try to manage just one version of that file.
Exactly.
And then on the other thing I would encourage firms is to stay away from distributing the tax returns on a CD or a flash drive. I think that there's some real security risk there in terms of someone getting access to that information inappropriately. And I think paper distribution is insecure as well for different reasons. So I would say that the best option is the portal, ultimately, but for many firms it's just a little bit early in the process for them. I think that a portal, which is just simply having a secure website location where you can post an electronic copy of the return and the client can go in there and log in securely to retrieve it, that is clearly, to me, the optimal approach. But
clients are getting used to this, too. I mean, they're getting this. They get it from their banks and their brokerage firms and their airlines. Everybody says, you know, this is how you do it. I mean, you go to the portal, and, I mean, I went to a movie Sunday. I went to the portal and printed our movie tickets, and then we went to the movie. People do that all the time.
Yeah, it's you know, year by year, it's just getting to be much more commonplace, and so it's not too soon for firms to be getting on this bandwagon, and I think it's still a relatively small percentage of firms that have done that, but it's an increasing percentage. So definitely it's something you want to have in your strategy for sure.
Right.
But in the meantime, from a practical perspective, the reality of it is that most firms are going to be sending out the tax return as a PDF attachment to an email. So to that point, I would strongly encourage you that the most basic thing to do is to lock those or secure those PDFs with a password. And so then you have to figure out, okay, what's our password policy going to be? Because it can't just be generic for all our clients, but it can't be so unique that we're spending more time dealing with the password than anything else. So I would suggest that you come up with, in your firm, come up with a password policy that's based on something unique about the client. So it could be a coding model that says, okay, we're going to take like 2008 and then the last four digits of the taxpayer's either Social Security number or ID, something to that effect.
Right.
So that anybody who has access to the client information can figure out what the password should be. And then you can have kind of a standard way to communicate it to all your clients without revealing what the actual password is. And,
right.
It can be considered a little bit of a pain in the neck to deal with all this, but it's just so easy to inadvertently send the tax return as an email attachment to the wrong person. And,
exactly.
And that's what you want to – that's the first step you want to avoid. That's your biggest, I believe, vulnerability when it comes to securing your client's information. Make sure it gets in the right hands, and if it doesn't, have that password to prevent unauthorized access to it.
Yeah, there's lots of pitfalls in this in the email delivery. I see people firms communicating with via email with with passwords and things, or sometimes without passwords. Just a lot of vulnerability there, and I don't think we think that through all the way. Lots of problems there.
Yeah, that's for sure. And unfortunately, it's probably just going to take more horror stories to really get people's awareness at the right level on this.
Right. Well, then we got the whole, the whole 7216 thing, you know, with Social Security numbers that, you know, I don't know how when you send an email, how you know if your client happens to retrieve that email from outside the U.S. or not.
Yeah, right.
You may be breaking an IRS rule completely inadvertently. So,
yeah, that's part of the challenge we have to deal with. Yeah.
So, John, as is usual, we've burned up our pretty much burned up our time. Let's do kind of a quick review of where we were at here. We did these three milestone kinds of things, those three areas. Review those for me again.
Okay, so first milestone is just the whole process for gathering the client data and getting it organized.
Okay.
And that's just, you know, get good scanning process in place and evaluate some of the scanning utility software out there.
Right. So your advice would be, if you're going to think about one of those scan and organize or potentially scan, organize, populate, now would be a particularly good time to get that done, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's still plenty of time to do that.
Sure,
sure.
Sure.
The second milestone is the whole tax preparation and review process. And so the key there is deciding at what stage of the process do you want to scan the documents. And you're going to need to really work through what is going to be our internal process for annotating the files, especially if they're electronic or paperless. Are we going to use Adobe tools for that? And if so, we need to get everybody trained on using those tools in Adobe and establish some standard guidelines for what tick marks or what symbols should be used, and are we going to put review notes in Adobe, or are we going to use some other tool?
Sure.
And Adobe continues to really get stronger and stronger in this area, so there's a lot you can do with it, but it's like Excel. You've got to understand the capabilities in order to really use it effectively.
Right. And John, are you at CPA Crossings, are you guys do some Adobe training, some web-based Adobe training from time to time?
Yes, we do. I'll put in a shameless plug. I appreciate that. We do have at our website at CPA Crossings, we have a CPE Center, which has we have four levels of Adobe classes for accountants, and so we cover it from soup to nuts. And we also have a custom accounting and tax tick mark tool that provides, and it's based upon work we've done for some firms where they wanted some specialized tick marking stamps that are more appropriate for accounting and tax environments. So, I encourage you to look at our website to learn more about those.
Yep, and I have discovered that there's almost no accountant that that can't use some Adobe training.
Yeah, it's kind of like Excel. I mean, it's become a core power tool that you have to have in your toolbox, and it keeps getting more powerful too. So there's a lot of good capability in the software. It's just a matter of knowing how to take advantage of it.
Okay.
And then the third piece is the as we talked about, the document distribution and archiving, and there, the key points would be just print out the different copy formats, the accountant's copy, the government copy, if necessary, and the client's copy to PDF. And then you also want to have a standard password policy so that any email attachments going out with PDFs to clients are properly secured with passwords. And in the long term, really take a serious look at deploying a portal solution, because that's going to really help you address your security vulnerabilities and also give you maximum efficiency in the whole distribution process.
Well, John, as is usual, you've pretty well nailed our topic for the day. A wonderful organization and a great review of document management, very timely in the tax practice, and I thank you for your time and your service to the profession in general and Intersection Live and the CPA Technology Advisor in specific. I've been visiting with John Higgins, the regular host of Document Management for Accountants to Go, and John's a principal in CPA Crossings, and as he indicated, I'd encourage you to go over and take a look at that website. That's just www.cpacrossings.com, right, John?
That's correct.
Okay. And encourage all of you to come back and join us on November 21st, 11:30 a.m. Central for Document Management for Accountants to Go, episode number 10. And, John, next time we're going to talk about what?
The plan is to talk about document management in the audit practice.
All right.
Like we did today for tax, we'll talk about it for audit.
Do the same thing for audit. Well, I appreciate your time. And, John, have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a good day also.
This has been Document Management for Accountants to Go, Document Management in the Tax Practice, Episode 9.
For information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.